Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to this celebration of Braille and the literacy that comes with Braille. As we all know, Braille is knowledge and knowledge is power. With us in the audience today are a number of individuals that I would like to recognize. Mr. Jerome Stevens is here representing United States Senator Ben Cardin and has brought a letter that we will work into the program at a later point. We also have Mr. Roland Sellette representing the French ambassador, His Excellency Pierre Vimon. We have representatives from Vocational Rehabilitation. Janet Lebrecht is here, Commissioner of the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. Dr. Michael Bina is here, and Dr. Bina is the superintendent of the Maryland School for the Blind. Mr. Frank Kurt Silke, the director of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped of the Library of Congress. And members of the board of directors of the National Federation of the Blind. We also have with us this morning some of our ambassadors. As I'm sure all of you know, we have been able to get individuals who will help us spread the word about Braille and the importance of Braille literacy in the lives of blind people. Included among our Braille ambassadors that are here today, Mr. Larry Shepard, who is the president of the American Numismatic Association. And Mr. Michael Hinkson, a longtime federationist and a nationally and internationally known motivational speaker. On the platform this morning with me is Mr. Mark Riccobono, the executive director of the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. The Institute is releasing today the most comprehensive report on the issue of Braille literacy in the United States. We have a crisis in Braille literacy. We know that today only 10% of blind children, 10%, are learning to use Braille as their primary reading medium. Is it any wonder that fewer than half of all blind children will graduate from high school, or that 7 of 10 blind adults are unemployed? The report lays out an ambitious project to correct the tragic illiteracy rate among blind people in this country. Specifically, the report calls for doubling the number of Braille readers in the United States by the year 2015. Appropriately enough, the year 2015 is the National Federation of the Blind's diamond anniversary, our 75th year as an organization. And to achieve this, we have laid out a number of steps, including a nationally recognized certification to ensure that teachers of blind children are thoroughly versed in reading and writing Braille, and an ambitious project to make Braille more widely available to blind people in the United States. It is my honor this morning to present a copy of the report. You would imagine that it is in print and in Braille. And I am presenting a copy of this report to Mr. Kareem Dale, who I'll ask to join me at the podium. And Mr. Dale is a special assistant to the President of the United States on Disability Policy. He has direct access to President Obama. He is a person who I have known now for many months. He is originally from Chicago. I don't hold it against him, but he's an attorney. He is also an individual who himself is blind, and it is my pleasure to present to you Mr. Kareem Dale, and to Mr. Dale, a copy of our report. Here you are.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if Frey was holding against me that I'm an attorney or from Chicago. I don't know which one. both he should be ashamed of, though. Since we are here at the NFB, I think lawyers, Target, that would be something that would be... you wouldn't want to downcast lawyers. It is my pleasure to be here. I want to thank Dr. Schroeder. I want to thank the president of NFB, Mark, John Perret, and the entire NFB family for inviting me to come and say just a few words to you all today. And I also want to thank for this wonderful report that we're all going to have a chance to read and digest and look at. It is a new day here in Washington, D.C. It is a new day for the country. It is a new day for all people with disabilities, and it is a new day for people who are blind, like myself. Yeah. President Obama was swept into office on November 4th with an overwhelming majority of the vote of people who are blind, of all people with disabilities. And he was swept into office on November 4th because of his commitment to people who are blind and all people with disabilities. He was swept into office because he gets it, because he understands that everybody in this country, including people who are blind, have a right to education, have a right to employment, have a right to access and full access to the American dream. And in just 2 months in office, we have started to see that commitment come to fruition. And it's only been, I think, 60 days exactly, or close to exactly, a little bit short of 60 days, or a little bit over 60 days, I guess. But in those 60 days, we've seen what President Obama is all about. He committed to, in the campaign, appointing a special assistant to the president for disability policy, and he has come through on that commitment by appointing me to that role. And I am simply humbled and honored that he showed the faith in me to help lead his effort for people with disabilities and for people who are blind. We know that President Obama is committed to equal access to education for all individuals. He's committed to early intervention for people with disabilities. He is committed to literacy, obviously, for all people. He's committed to making sure that everybody has access to be able to be literate in this country, to read, to excel, to use those reading skills to experience the arts, to experience mathematics, to experience just the enjoyment of reading a book at your ease and at your leisure. So again, I say that I'm very honored that the NFB has invited me. I look forward to continuing to work with the National Federation of the Blind on its various mission. And I would be remiss if I didn't say this, because I say this every time I speak to anyone, anybody, in any group. And John and Mark and Fred all have heard me say this on numerous occasions. For this administration, the key is going to be that we are all going to work together. That means that the National Federation of the Blind is going to work with the administration. The NFB is going to work with other organizations such as the ACB, such as NIB, such as other deaf organizations. The deaf organizations are going to work with the autism organizations, who are going to work with the mental health groups, who are going to work with the developmentally disabled groups. Because part of being a new day is bridging the gap and reaching out to everybody to bring about the best results for all Americans, including people who are blind. We've seen it from President Obama reaching out to Republicans across the aisle, going to the Hill, speaking to everybody. And that is a model that he has demanded that we take in our individual areas, that as we go and talk to people around the country and deal with our particular constituencies. So I bring that message to you from the president, that we are all going to work together to bring about better change for people who are blind. Thank you very much for having me here today. I will take this report and I will practice reading up on my Braille skills, because I read pretty slow now, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I really appreciate you coming.
Well, thank you, Mr. Dale. And he mentioned that President Obama gets it, and I'll say we've got a real friend in the administration with Kareem Dale, and we're really delighted that you were able to join us here this morning. We have a crisis in Braille literacy, and we've talked about that crisis many times, but today is not a day of sadness. Today is a day of celebration because we have decided that we are going to change that condition. We are going to give literacy to the blind of this country, and by so doing, give them the opportunity to pursue their educational goals and to pursue their employment goals. And we're going to do that by working together. This morning, I have the real pleasure of introducing to you an individual who has made a tremendous difference in the lives of blind people, particularly those pursuing technical professions, specifically mathematics and all of the scientific areas. When Louis Braille created his code in the early 1800s, the code did not initially address higher mathematics. And of course, math and science have changed dramatically over the decades that followed. But blind people wanting to be able to pursue their dreams and goals needed a code that would allow them to compete on terms of equality. It is my real pleasure and honor this morning to introduce to you for a few words the inventor of the mathematics code that we use here in the United States today, the mathematician, American mathematician, and inventor, Dr. Abraham Nemeth. Dr. Nemeth? Yep. Dr. Nemeth?
Yes.
There you are.
I got it.
Perfect.
From that applause, I can tell that I am at home at the National Federation of the Blind. I thank you very much. I know that today we have with us a representative from the Mint, and I have to tell you that one time as a tourist, I was touring the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, and they were showing us how they printed all those $10 bills and $20 bills. I don't know how many millions or billions of dollars they printed. And at the end of the tour, they gave me a bag of U.S. currency bills, shredded. And since I am not an expert in jigsaw puzzle, I just kept a souvenir. I have to tell you, I was a child in the 1920s. That's a long time ago. And I went to the New York City public school system. And they had a wonderful system. It was an integrated system at that time. I went to school together with all my sighted classmates. And we had a resource teacher in that school who knew Braille. And she made sure that every student in that class learned Braille. It didn't matter if they were able to read print. They had to learn Braille. And I met many of those students later in life, and were they ever glad, because many of them had lost much of their sight and their ability to continue to read print, but they could read Braille. That was a wonderful thing. I went to Evander Childs High School in the Bronx, and there I had a role model teacher of mathematics who instilled in me the desire to be a mathematician. He was sighted, and he is the only person that I knew who had sight and was able to read Braille with his fingers. And I graduated and went to Brooklyn College. And there, my counselors told me that my desire to be a mathematician was futile, that I should major in some other field because there's no way of writing mathematics. And so I majored in psychology, and I got a master's degree in psychology. But I went back to Brooklyn College and kept taking courses in mathematics until one day my wife said, "Tell me the truth. Wouldn't you rather be an unemployed mathematician than an unemployed psychologist?" Anyway, I devised the Nemeth Code in order to be able to continue the courses in mathematics at Brooklyn College, and it has stood me in very good stead. Without it, I could not have achieved and maintained my job as a professor of mathematics at the University of Detroit. With it, I was able to write everything that I needed to on the blackboard because my father made sure that I was literate. He let me touch the raised lettering on mailboxes and the raised lettering on police call boxes and fire call boxes, and he let me touch the raised lettering on license plates of automobiles. And even the neon tubing on the outside of storefront windows so that I would learn the shapes of script letters. And he bought me big blocks with raised letters and rubber stamps with raised letters. He made sure I was literate. Anyway, Braille was very useful to me. If you learn your subjects only by reading cassettes and recorded material, it'll be a long time before you learn how to spell Chicago. And it'll be a long time before you grasp the correct format for writing a letter. You have to see it formatted in Braille to know what the proper arrangement is of the various parts of a letter. And the same thing with punctuation and paragraphs. You don't get that from recorded materials. And your spelling becomes atrocious if you only read from recorded material. Anyway, Braille has been a friend to me all my life. And I am now developing a new system called NUBS. It's called Nemeth Uniform Braille System. In print, when you read print, there's only one set of numbers and one set of punctuations, but currently in Braille, there are two sets of numbers and three sets of punctuations, and we don't need to have problems in Braille in addition to the other kinds of problems we have. So I developed a system where there's only one set of numbers and one set of punctuations, and it is a system which is currently being reviewed by the Braille Authority of North America, which was so kind as to give me an award. I have received many awards. I'm running out of wall space. I have a letter from President George Herbert Bush appointing me to his one of his 1,000 points of light. You may remember that he was interested in having a kinder and gentler society. And so one day he went to visit a nursing home with proper medium coverage. And he engaged a gentleman there who was 96 years old. And after 3 or 4 minutes, the president said to this elderly gentleman, "Do you know who I am?" And the elderly gentleman looked at him and says, "I'm sorry, I don't, but they'll be glad to tell you at the front desk." Anyway, I thank you all for being attentive to the few words that I have to say. And even though I'm wearing a short-sleeved shirt, I was speaking off the cuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Nemeth.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that. Dr. Nemeth, you have contributed enormously to the employment of blind people throughout this country and the world, particularly in the technical fields. And we're very pleased that you're one of our Braille ambassadors and that you were able to be here with us this morning. Those of you in the audience may or may not be aware, Dr. Nemeth is 90 years old. That means he missed knowing Louis Braille by only months. And was our Louis Braille of the 20th century, and with the new code he's developing, it looks like maybe the Louis Braille of the 21st century as well. So thank you, Dr. Nemeth. Literacy is about opportunity. And with me on the stage here this morning are three individuals who are going to make a presentation. I have up here with me Brandon Pickerell, who is 7 years old and a first grader, Michelle Daughtry, who is 11 years old and a sixth grader, and Jason Polanski, who is 12 years old and a seventh grader. And I turn it to them for their presentation.
Whereas I, Brandon Pickerell, am a first grader who is proud to be one of the 10% of blind children who can read and write Braille, and therefore I am more likely to graduate from high school and pursue advanced education. And
whereas I, Jason Polanski, am a seventh grader who reads Braille, and therefore I am more likely to be successfully employed in my field of choice. And
whereas I, Marche Daughtry, am a sixth grader who loves to read Braille, and therefore salute the members of the Congress for authorizing the Louis Braille Silver Dollar, which will provide funds to the National Federation of the Blind to ensure that many other blind children and adults have the opportunity to be literate.
We're not done yet.
You have to wait for them to calm down.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that we will use the power of knowledge to build a future full of opportunities with the support of the National Federation of the Blind. And
and be it further resolved that I will go to college because of the investment of the next generation made by the National Federation of the Blind. And
be it further resolved that I will graduate high school, go to college, and be successful in my personal life and my career because of the unwavering commitment to Braille literacy by the National Federation of the Blind.
Be it further resolved that I will be a midwife because the members of the National Federation of the Blind will seize this moment in time to make change with a dollar.
You'd better believe that change is coming. And thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are Braille readers, and therefore we will be leaders. Please follow our lead and help us build a brighter future by giving the gift of Braille to every blind person in America.
All right. We intend to do just exactly that, and thank you, Brandon, Marche, and Jason. Braille is knowledge, and knowledge is power, and Braille will give that power, the ability to read and write and be literate and be employed, to these children and children across the United States, but it also gives power to blind people of all ages. All right, and we have a video that will speak to this point.
When Louis Braille first created his code in 1824, it was the first time that blind people could read and write effectively. The importance of this code to the blind is no less important than the printed word is to the sighted. Braille is essential, vital, irreplaceable to our freedom and independence.
Braille has opened the world of literate writing to me. It has made it possible for me to compete with others and to share ideas.
The blind individuals that don't have Braille skills have less of an opportunity to be successful.
Braille really is the means to literacy for the blind. That with Braille, blind children can grow up and explore their own interests and be able to pursue those dreams with the foundational tools, the ability to read and write and to be educated.
Braille makes me a more competitive employee.
Braille is so much easier. I don't have to strain my eyes to read anything.
If I didn't know Braille, I would not have a full-time job.
I realize most important to me, Braille has allowed me to be a tremendous father.
Everything I need to read for school, anything I need to read in my music is in Braille. Yeah, if we didn't have Braille, we couldn't function.
I have a 9-year-old, and he is a smart young man who is now in third grade, and it's wonderful to be able to sit with him and read to him.
I read and write just like my friends do. I do it differently. I read and write Braille.
When the blind can read, the blind can achieve.
Braille is used by the blind exactly how print is used by the sighted. In work, in pleasure, at home, and at school, Braille is essential. But only 10% of blind children are learning Braille in school today. That's why the proceeds of the Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar are critical to funding needed literacy programs by the National Federation of the Blind. What Braille means to the blind cannot be understated. Braille is
essential.
Literacy.
Success.
Crucial.
Reading and writing.
Equal opportunity.
Independence.
Education.
Hope.
Employment.
Life-changing. Braille is knowledge.
And knowledge is power. Join us in celebrating Louis Braille, his life and legacy, and forever reversing the Braille literacy crisis. For more information, visit www.braille.org.
A longtime friend of the National Federation of the Blind is Senator Christopher Dodd. Many of you have had the opportunity to hear Senator Dodd address various of our meetings. He had planned and wanted very much to be here this morning and unfortunately was not able to be, but he wanted to send a message. And so now here is a recorded message from Senator Dodd.
Well, good morning, everyone, and I apologize that I'm not there with you in person this morning. To celebrate a great day, and thank to all of you, so many who are in the room and who are not in the room, but we're very much a part of the effort to achieve the final passage of the Louis Braille Commemorative Coin Act. I want to thank Rick Santorum, who's no longer in the Senate, but he was my partner on this effort, and I appreciate the amount of support and effort he put into this as well. This is a great achievement. First of all, to recognize the 200th anniversary of the birth of Louis Braille is a wonderful achievement in itself, a remarkable individual who made a difference. And unfortunately, Statistics which I even find hard to accept, the fact that only 10% of the blind in this country understand how to read or to use Braille as a means of communication. That probably has a lot to do with the fact that there's a 70% unemployment rate among the blind. I come to this issue from a variety of different perspectives. Obviously, I've gotten to know my community and the National Federation of the Blind so well, both nationally and in the state. But I have a remarkable sister named Carolyn Dodd, who's been a teacher for more than 40 years, who is legally blind and grew up with her and my four other siblings, the six of us, to have deep appreciation for my sister's capabilities, her contribution to our community and our country, and watched as my parents, who had the means to make a difference in her life, saw to it that she got the education and could overcome the disability that she had, but nonetheless also understood that Braille was not available for whatever reason. And the fact that we have such a small percentage of the blind today that are literate with Braille is deeply disturbing and troubling to me. The good news is this. We're gathered here today to celebrate not only the coin being established and commemorative, but we're going to raise about $8 million, maybe more, dollars to fund the literacy programs so we get through this crisis and make it possible for more and more children, our school systems and others, to learn Braille. It's not that hard, I'm told, that you can learn this very, very quickly. And the more people we can get to be literate through Braille, then the greater the opportunities are going to be to reduce that unemployment level, give people that chance of dignity and self-worth, taking care of themselves, being independent, all of the wonderful qualities we associate with that ability to read and write in a language that you can communicate in. And Braille provides that opportunity. So the coin is a wonderful way to celebrate a life, but more importantly, if Mr. Braille were around today, he would be saying, let's use the money. 10% literacy among the blind in Braille is unacceptable this many years later. So again, I apologize that I'm not there with you to share more of these thoughts, but I just wanted to say thank you to each and every one of you, the leadership of the National Federation of the Blind, for their unyielding efforts to get this done. It's a great day for our country, for everyone in this nation, that we're now going to make such a difference in the lives of so many people who will be able to have that literacy that they so desperately need to achieve all of the goals and aspirations they have in their own lives. Thanks an awful lot for listening.
The centerpiece of our Braille Literacy Initiative is the newly minted Louis Braille commemorative coin. And we have with us this morning Mr. Ed Moy, who is the director of the United States Mint. He worked with President Bush as his special assistant for White House personnel and has served the country in a number of important ways, including participating in a committee that helped develop and create the Homeland Security Department. And so now for words, I'll turn it to Mr. Moy.
Thank you very much, Fred. Thank you for that warm welcome. Thank you, Dr. Maurer. I'm pleased to be with you again and look forward to introducing this coin. And Dr. Nemeth, I appreciate the very good words that you expressed about the Mint, but in spite of those good words, you will not get any free samples this morning. Well, I'm very pleased to be here for the launch of the 2009 Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar. Coins that are produced by the United States Mint are distinguishable by size and weight, but today, for the first time in American history, we launch a coin that includes readable Braille on its surface. The 2009 Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar honors the 200th anniversary of the birth of Louis Braille, the developer of the tactile code instrumental in increasing the literacy and independence of blind people all over the world. Each year, the United States Mint has a great privilege of minting two commemorative coins authorized by Congress to celebrate and honor important people, places, events, and institutions. This year, we celebrate and honor both Louis Braille and Abraham Lincoln. The modern commemorative coin program began in 1982, and since then, The United States Mint has raised more than $420 million in surcharges to help support important programs like yours. And this year, the money raised will go to the Braille Readers Are Leaders campaign, which is the national initiative created to double the number of blind children learning Braille by 2015. The 2009 Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar goes on sale today to the public at noon Eastern Time. As directed by law, we will mint over 400,000 Bicentennial Silver Dollars, and the National Federation of the Blind is authorized to receive $10 for each coin sold. One of my hopes for this commemorative coin and the funds it will generate is that it will increase education and dialogue between sighted and blind people. I remember personally the first time I met a blind person. I was a child working in my parents' restaurant. I was a little paralyzed because I didn't know if I should try to help or stay out of the way. But I'm glad to report that since then, I've had a chance to make a number of blind friends and learn some basic rules, like don't pet the dog guide, stay out of the way of the cane, wait until you're asked to help, and my own personal favorite, Ed, please lower your voice, we're blind, not deaf. With Louis Braille and Braille literacy in the spotlight all year this year, the chance for dialogue between blind and sighted people increases. So on the stage, you will see that there are two blow-ups of the 2009 Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar, one illustrating the front and one illustrating the back. It's, in my opinion, a very striking design, and it meets the United States Mint criteria for artistic excellence. It's beautiful, it tells a story, and it's clearly American. It's a coin that Americans will want to own and keep for generations and pass on to their children. Allow me to describe each side of this important new silver dollar for you in a little bit of detail. The coin's obverse, or head side of the coin, which will be on my right, features a very handsome image of Louis Braille from the neck up, and he's facing forward. This image captures him as an energetic, confident, and successful young man that he was, and the image fills the center of the coin. He's wearing a jacket and collar in the style of the early 1800s, and his hair is fashionably wavy. The coin also bears the inscription, Liberty, along the curve of the coin above his head, and the words Louis Braille underneath his portrait. In God We Trust is inscribed to the right of Braille's image at cheek level, and the date 1809 appears on the left, and 2009 appears on the right, both at collar height. On the coin reverse, or the back of the coin, which you'll see on my left, the most prominent image is a boy who looks to be about 8 or 9, and he's sitting at a table reading a book in Braille. He is wearing a t-shirt and has the top of a cane resting on his left arm. The word Braille in Braille code, which is abbreviated BRL, as it is in Braille code, is produced on the upper half of the coin. The spacing and size of the letter ensures that the text is no different from the printed or written Braille to the touch. On the left, in the background, the word independence is written along the top of a bookshelf full of books. The inscription, United States of America, is on the top of the curve of the coin, and the words $1 is at the bottom, and E pluribus unum is to the right of the seated child that's reading Braille. So now it's time to launch this coin and introduce it to the American people. I ask President Maurer to please join me up here at the podium. Dr. Maurer, on behalf of the United States Mint, I present you with a plaque featuring four of the 2009 Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollars. This plaque contains two proof silver dollars, both encased in protective cases, one showing the front or the head side, and the other one showing the tails or the reverse side, as well as two uncirculated silver dollars without any protective casing so that you can feel all the tactile features on the coin. The inscription on the plaque is an English print and Braille code, and it reads like this. Presented to the National Federation of the Blind, 2009 Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar from the United States Mint on March 26, 2009. Congratulations. Because of the literacy initiative and the potential of the 2009 Louis Braille Bicentennial Silver Dollar to generate funds for Braille literacy programs, we can look forward to the day when many more blind children and adults are reading Braille and becoming self-sufficient. The United States Mint is very proud to be part of this unique relationship between the United States Congress, the National Federation of the Blind, and the United States Mint to offer this silver commemorative coin to increase Braille literacy. Congratulations and thank you.
Well, thank you, Director Moy. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm hoping they're not shredded on the on the plaque. Braille literacy, what does it mean in the lives of people? It means opportunity. There is no more tangible example of the power that Braille can make in helping blind people be educated and live productive lives than is embodied in our own national president, Dr. Mark Maurer. Dr. Maurer is a nationally and internationally known leader in the blindness field, has literally hundreds of published articles, probably hundreds of public presentations that he has made throughout the world. He has given hope and inspiration to blind people throughout the world, and he has supported that hope and inspiration with actions, and our Braille literacy campaign is the latest example. I present to you our national president, Dr. Mark Maurer.
There you are, sir.
Well, thank you for the warm welcome, and thank you for the kind words. And I should say to many who are here today that I come to thank you. I want to thank the Mint. It's a great job. I want to thank the president for sending us his special assistant. I want to thank NASA for working with us for all this time. The National Federation of the Blind has been alive in the United States since the year 1940, and we have produced Braille during all of that time. We produce it in our magazines, and we produce it in refreshable Braille, and we produce it on the signs that we post, and we produce it in our state affiliates, and we produce it in our National Association to Promote the Use of Braille and dozens of other ways. In fact, we've produced more Braille, I suspect, in this country than anybody else except the Library of Congress. And I want to thank the director of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, who is here with us, Mr. Frank Kurtz-Silke, who has produced more Braille even than we have. And I want to say to all of you, it is important that we are here, and it is wonderful to welcome all of you important people. And as I sat here listening to the presentation so far this morning, there were three who, it seemed to me, were of prime importance today. And they are Brandon and Marche and Jason, because they represent tomorrow. And they have come to recognize that Braille for them is going to mean success. And they practice it. And it's delightful to watch them doing it. Braille is a right for blind Americans. It came to be embodied in federal law in 1998 as a right. Before that time, it was a hope. And in many cases, and in many places, it is still only a hope. That is why we have issued the Crisis in Braille Literacy in America report today. Because if we are to change that hope, we have to change the availability, the importance, the care about education for blind children, and the teaching of Braille to blind adults. In the early 1990s, we said to some of the people who were publishing books that we wanted to have the opportunity to read their books. And we wanted to be able to put them in an alternate format so that we could do it, including Braille. And they said, you can't count on us. We are not in the charity business. And we said to them, if you refuse to work with us, you will find out that we're not in the charity business either. And we went down to the Washington area and we said to the members of Congress, we need a law that says we have a right to read Braille. And they said, education is a state matter. Talk to them. And we said, but it's a national problem. And they said, talk to the states. So we drafted state legislation and we went from state to state and we began getting them adopted in various states. And after a while, there was a law that promised the right for blind students to read Braille in more than 50% of the states of the United States. And the publishers came to us and they said, it's costing us to do all of this work, hundreds of thousands of dollars. There ought to be a federal law. And we said, yeah, that's what we said. And we worked with them, and it came to be a part of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act in 1998. Are we getting the Braille? Part of the time. Are we getting enough?
No.
Not enough. Do we have enough teachers?
No.
No, we don't. It's a right that is currently not being offered way too often. Braille literacy means the capacity to read, the capacity to make presentations, the capacity even, which is what caused Louis Braille at least part of his problem back in the 1820s, the capacity to pass notes, often that the teachers can't read. In my own case, my mother taught it to me, and it changed my life. So while I'm thanking people, thanks, Mom. We who are blind insist upon the right to read. We insist upon the opportunity to get books. We know that Braille literacy increases the chances of our getting a good education and increases the likelihood that we will become employed, the likelihood that we will pay taxes, the likelihood that we will participate in this society of ours. And now we have, for the first time, a coin made of silver with the value of fine silver. It is a symbol of value, and it contains other symbols, the symbols of literacy for us. Many people have thought that we who are blind are broken. We're sighted people who are broken. And yet we know that that symbol of value is as real for us as it is for anybody else. We thank the Mint. We thank our partners who have helped us bring this into being. We insist upon being recognized as people of value, and we insist upon being able to make our contributions. That's what this silver dollar signifies.
Fred?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Maurer. I think that sums it right up. There are people who say that we can't really prove that Braille makes a difference. There are people who say the evidence pointing to the importance of Braille in the lives of blind people is anecdotal. But those same people want their sighted children to learn to read print. Has anyone ever proven that print literacy matters in a child's life? Or is the evidence anecdotal? We want literacy for blind people, and it's not just anecdotal evidence. We know that through research we have found that if you read Braille and you're a blind person, you are nearly twice as likely to be employed as an adult. This is not anecdotal. This is documented proof of the importance of Braille in the lives of blind people. In the front of the room here, to your left as you face the front, there is a display that is about to be unveiled. Unveiling the display will be Dr. Maurer and our three young people who presented earlier this morning. And as soon as they are ready, they are ready, I am told. And so let's give them a countdown of 3, 2, 1, and then we will unveil this display and I'll describe it to you. 3, 2, 1. The display is a frame, and in the middle of the frame are the words, Braille is knowledge and knowledge is power, but there's nothing else contained within the frame. What we will be doing is every time 10,000 of these Louis Braille commemorative coins are sold, we will place a square within the frame, and when all 400,000 have been sold, the frame will be filled. And with that will be a beautiful piece of art. What it will look like, well, we need to sell 400,000 coins if we want to know what it will look like, and it will be on permanent display at our national headquarters. And so all of us in this room, we have the obligation to spread the word about Braille and the importance of Braille in the lives of blind people and encourage our friends, our relatives, family members, people with whom we work, neighbors, everyone we can find to help support us by buying these coins, and so that you can also find out what this frame will look like when we fill it with all of those coins or those squares. And now for a very special presentation, I'd like to introduce to you Jessica Bachicha. Jessica is a PhD candidate at Catholic University in Washington, D.C., and she is accompanied by a pianist who will be joining her, Ayaka Isono. And I now present to you Jessica Bechicha. Thank you very much, Jessica. What a beautiful presentation. Braille did not give Jessica her voice, but it did give her the ability to study in many different languages. And for those of you whose French might be a little rusty, the theme of that song was hope and inspiration. And it certainly came through in that presentation. Thank you, Jessica. Over the last several years, we have had a very close working relationship with NASA. NASA has supported us in educational programs to encourage young blind people to be able to pursue their dreams, those who are particularly technically minded. And with us now for remarks is Dr. Joyce Winterson. She is the Associate Administrator for NASA Education. Dr. Winterson.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be invited to this very exciting and important day. And special thanks to the National Federation of the Blind for including NASA in this special day. You know, NASA is in the business of pioneering new frontiers. In fact, today is really a very exceptional day because we actually have three missions and spacecrafts with astronauts on them. We have the International Space Station, where we actually have crews representing the United States, Japan, and Russia. And then we also have our crew from our space shuttle, STS-119, that are en route back to Earth. And that mission includes Ricky Arnold, who was a science teacher here in Maryland and actually did two spacewalks to help build out the International Space Station. And we also have the Soyuz coming from Russia up to the International Space Station. In addition to the astronauts who are on this spacecraft, NASA is also doing amazing robotics and telescopes, helping us better understand our planet, the Earth, our solar systems, and worlds beyond. Our rovers on Mars continue to send back the most detailed information we've ever been able to gather about another planet. And two remarkable telescopes are allowing us to see further into space than ever dreamed before. The Hubble telescope has brought back some of the most stunning images of the galaxies I have ever seen. And last month, it was joined by NASA's newest instrument, Kepler. The Kepler mission will survey our region of the Milky Way galaxy to discover hundreds of Earth-sized planets and smaller planets, and determine the fraction of the hundreds of billions of stars in our galaxy that might have such planets. NASA has a long-standing relationship with the National Federation of the Blind, which has allowed us to take the stunning images that are received from these telescopes and make them available to all students. Last year, we partnered on the book, Touch the Invisible Sky. That's this publication. Which includes Braille images, large print, and tactile diagrams of celestial images observed by space telescope Hubble, Chandra, and Spitzer to reveal the cosmos to the blind and the visually impaired. We have partnered to host the Rock On Science Camp. This camp hosts blind high school students from around the country who have an interest and aptitude for science. The camp challenges students to develop, build, and launch a 12-foot rocket from NASA's Wallops Flight Center on Virginia's Eastern Shore. Since 2004, at least a dozen projects have been collaboratively worked through NASA and the National Federation of the Blind personnel. This summer, we are all again working together on the second NFB Youth Slam, a 5-day experiential academy focusing on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics subjects and careers. NASA's education programs are specifically designed to support students' careers and interest in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. From the sparking of the imagination of young children to supporting the professional research of our leading scientists, NASA is looking to find and support the brightest talent our nation has. And I think we heard from three of those most talented students today. And we certainly hope they are considering careers in science, mathematics, and they'll be some of our inventors of new technology for NASA and our partners. One of the person who exemplifies this is Mr. Paul Morgan, who is one of the fellows from our NASA Administrators 40 Fellowship Program, Mr. Morgan works at our NASA Kennedy Space Center in Florida, and he's an employee there, and has spent a year as a biomedical engineer professor at Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland. Dr. Morgan has been legally blind since the age of 18 and has contributed to the development of the Geordi system, which enhances our vision and low vision. Dr. Morgan has worked closely with the National Federation of the Blind, and I'm thrilled that he was instrumental in pursuing what I'm able to be here today and what we're about. Louis Braille, who developed the tactile method of reading and writing used by the blind, was a pioneer. He opened new doors for millions of people. It is fitting that today we commemorate his life and work. NASA welcomes the opportunity to help these types of highest accomplishments and recognize them. I'd like to invite Dr. Maurer to join me here at the podium with a couple of these new coins and let you know that NASA will be flying them aboard STS-125 later this year. STS-125 is our mission that will return the space shuttle to the Hubble telescope to do the last repair before the space shuttle is retired in 2010. Over 11 days and 5 spacewalks, the Shuttle Atlantis crew will make repairs and upgrades to the telescope, leaving it better than ever and ready for another 5 years or more of research. It's very fitting that these coins, which represent a system that empowers people with knowledge, will travel to the telescope that has helped answer some of science's key questions and provided images that have awed and inspired the world. When these coins return, they will be placed on a permanent display here at the National Federation of the Blind's headquarters. I hope they can serve as an inspirational message to all students, and nothing is beyond their research and their ability to pursue. NASA is taking a leading role in the effort to inspire interest in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics as few other organizations can through its unique missions, workforce, facilities, research, and innovations. President Obama has made preparation for all youth for the 21st century economy as a national priority, and actually just had a downlink in a teleconference with the International Space Station with students this week. The students who have participated in this program, conducted in partnership with NASA and the National Federation of the Blind, can become the scientists and engineers that will make future space exploration possible. They are the future that President Obama is speaking about. They represent the generation that will take us to the stars. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And I make a commitment that I am buying a coin for each of my 6 grandchildren, so it'll be a daily reminder of the importance of Braille and their friends who are visually impaired.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Winterton. Thank you to NASA and its help with all of our activities over the years. And now, flying a Louis Braille coin or set of coins into space on the space shuttle. I wonder whether it'll be Brandon, Marche, or Jason who will be the first to go up in a space shuttle with a Louis Braille coin in his or her pocket one of these days. When we conclude, in the back of the room behind you, there will be refreshments, but there will also be a number of things you will want to see. In 1929, there was a book published describing Louis Braille's code. And we have an original copy of that 1929 book that is on display in the back of the room. There will also be coins available for purchase, so you can walk out of here with one of your Louis Braille commemorative coins.
He died in 1852. It was 1829.
Did I say 19? Pardon me, 1829. Yeah, Dr. Mao reminded me he had been long dead by 1929. 1829, the book was published, and it is a first edition, and we have it on display. And as I say, you'll want to buy these coins, and maybe if we sell enough of them, we can put the first square in that frame up here. If we are to break through the Braille literacy crisis, we are going to have to all contribute our time and our energy. Are you ready to break through the literacy crisis? If you are ready to put your hand to helping break through the literacy crisis, at the front of the room, to the left of the stage, is a piñata. And if we break through that piñata, we will take the first step to breaking through the literacy crisis. And so I invite you to come forward and take a swing at doing something to break through the literacy problem in America, and afterward enjoy some refreshments and buy your Louis Braille coin. Thank you very much for your attention.